Operating on that verse in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And so that's what we're going to try and do this morning. But we want to think about the Word of God, what a decent and appropriate relationship might be to the Word of God, and what might be a decent and appropriate way of using it, and when. Most of the world has no relationship with the book that we call the Bible. Most of the world have never read it. They don't know what it says. In fact, some of them fear it because they've been told that they should fear it. They've been taught to fear it. And so they would have nothing to do with it. In the book of Exodus, there's an example of using the Bible and accepting the Bible for what it is. You see, the Bible is God's word. And it's not just like reading a newspaper. It is God's word. And as you read each word off the page of that book we call the Bible, it is God speaking to you. Speaking to you. And it's God. There's a reason for each word on the page. And some people hear the word and they respond to it. And some people hear the word and fail to respond to it. And just to give you an example out of the Old Testament, when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh about letting Israel go, there was a time when he set up a plague. Well, he didn't. God told him to tell Pharaoh that there was going to be a great hailstorm. And in Exodus 9, 20 and 21, let me just read those two verses to you. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Verse 21. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field where they perished. The word of God for us is a lifesaver. The word of God ignored is doom. One group believed, and the other didn't believe. One group perished, the other group survived. And did you know that the response to the Word of God will determine whether or not we survive this life? I believe that most of us, if not all of us here this morning, know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's what this whole thing is about. And it tells us how to come to a true knowledge of Him, but more important than our acquiring a knowledge of Him is He wants to save us and make us children of God. One of the interesting things about the Christian is that they all have the same Holy Spirit. And so we shouldn't be clashing or bumping heads about what God wants for us or what He wants us to do. All of our actions should be consistent based upon the Word. And if there's not, there's something wrong. Usually it's in the heart. When a citizen of the world has something go not quite the way they planned, they might use language that we would call colorful, profane, objectionable. When a Christian is born again, God takes that language out of their vocabulary. Now, I have heard people who claimed to be Christians used language which was not appropriate. There's that little word again. You're going to be hearing that word for months, appropriate, appropriate. And I wonder, are they really born again? Because when we're born again, we're to be a new creature. And then I got to thinking, the Lord reminded me, I've been saved for 50 plus years. And I was about 10 years old in the Lord, 10 years after I'd been saved. Something happened, and I responded with a word, not verbally, but in my mind. And I was shocked. Where did that word come from? I know where it came from. It came from my old life. And maybe you've experienced something like that. But since that time, I don't know of a time where that kind of language has been a part of my life or my thoughts. And if you've been born again, then these should not be a part of your thoughts, but they might be. And I was young in Christ. Maybe you're young in Christ. But when a Christian's born again, God gives them a whole new vocabulary. As Christians, we should be using God's word as a source for our communication. I don't mean we're supposed to be speaking the old English. That went out a long time ago. But we should be speaking the kind of speech that God would approve of every time we speak. That's how the believer should always speak. Even when the believer comes under stress, he should not revert back to the vocabulary of the world. So consistency requires that we be circumspect in our language, in our actions as well as in our language. And what I've observed over many years of serving the Lord is that people that use the language of the world spend the least time in the Word. They don't read it. They don't have time for it. And so this morning, I want us to understand what a appropriate relationship would be to the Word. Because, folks, this is very, very important to every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read in the Old Testament some of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you will see one phrase over and over and over. And that phrase, Jeremiah 11:1, is an example of it. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will give you his word through the Holy Spirit that indwells your heart. I don't know how many times this phrase is spoken, but it says, behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. And so, people, I wonder this morning, do we, as God's people, delight in the Word of God? There are people who cannot stand it. They don't have time to read it. They don't want to read it. There's something just repugnant to them about reading the Word of God. And you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction that their life is not what it is supposed to be. And because of that, they stay away from it. When something causes you pain, you don't go out and do it. You know it's going to hurt if you hit your thumb with a hammer on a a piece of plywood or a 2x4. And so you don't go around doing that unless you're old like I am and you need some stimulation, okay? It's very stimulating, folks. But it's also very painful. So as we sit here this morning, we have to realize of what God has done for all of us. God has made it possible for you and I to hear Him speak anytime we want to. Anytime we want to, we can open up our Bible and read. And God is speaking to you. He will tell you some of the history as you're in the Old Testament. He'll tell you some of the original commandments that He gave. And He gave them for a reason. And when Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, said, "It is finished," what He meant was that the law was fulfilled, but the law did not stop. You say, "Well, I thought we weren't under the law, we're under grace." Yeah, sure we are. But which of the Ten Commandments stopped? I think it's still wrong to murder, still wrong to steal, still wrong to covet, still wrong for children not to obey their parents. All of those things are still working. They're still effective. Jeremiah asked a question that sort of has come down through the ages till now. And we need to take up the same question as we seek an answer to the eternal question of Jeremiah 6, 10, and 11 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." And this morning, I would ask you a question. What is your heart feeling about the Word of God? Do you long to be in it, to be reading it? Do you set aside time every day to spend time in the Word, reading about your Savior, reading about what has brought Him up to the point where He became the Messiah? He was born the Messiah, but the Bible tells us about Him, about all the things that prepared Him to come. One of the things that was I noticed about this phrase in Jeremiah is that Israel had no delight in the law of the Lord. And today, in the Christian church, many churches, many believers have no delight in the law of the Lord. They have no delight in God's Word. I'm so glad to see everybody's coming out to Sunday school, because that's what we're studying. We're really studying the Word of God. And that's so we can all benefit from it and we can all listen to it? No? Yeah, listen. But do it. Do it. And that's the part where the blessings are. When we do the Word of God, not just listen, but we do the Word of God, and we see God keep His Word. He's made promises. If you will do this, I will do that. And He does. Test Him if you don't think so. Find a promise. Claim it. See if He doesn't answer. He will. You know, it sounds like Jeremiah, when it said that they have no delight in the Word, sort of sounds like Jeremiah might have been living in our day. Because when you start thinking about it, up until 1960, The Bible was revered. And the Bible was in school. The Bible was in our society. The Bible was everywhere. And nobody objected. Well, maybe a few objected to it, but it was there. And then in 1963, the Supreme Court says, no more Bible in the schools. And what they did, they ripped morality out of the school. Tell me another book. Tell me another book where we can learn morality, where we can learn how to please God. There isn't one. The only one we've got is this Bible that we hold in our laps this morning. I'm so thankful that God preserved His Word. He had men write it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then He preserved it down through the centuries. And you and I have it today, and when we get to heaven, it's going to be there too. I'd like for all of you to give me your full attention for just a moment. God has provided His Word to us so that we can read it and obey it. But we have an enemy who does not want us to do that. Our enemy exerted his influence upon the Supreme Court in 1963. They removed the Bible, the Word of God, from public schools. Children don't know what's in the Bible anymore. Because how many children have we got in children's church this morning? Three? I think there's more children than that in North Charleston. Where are they? Watching cartoons, doing other things, anything but the Bible. They don't get the Bible anymore. Now, there have been two generations since the Supreme Court took the Bible out of the schools. There's been two generations come up. Two generations without the Word of God. Two generations that have no idea who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what God wants from us, how to relate to Him. And is it any wonder that because of that, human life has no value anymore? It was after the Bible was taken out that they did the Roe v. Wade. Every day that you live without taking time to read at least one or two chapters or even three chapters of the Bible, the devil has won a victory in your life. He has kept you from God speaking to your heart. Every day. I don't want to give him the victory. I want to be victorious over his kind of people. Psalm 119, 11 and 12 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then the next verse, which a lot of times doesn't get included, is, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." That's what I want to learn. I want to learn what God wants so that I can be closer to Him. That I pray for that for all of you every morning, that God will give you safety and that He will draw you and myself closer to Him that day. And unless you spend some time in the Word, it's not going to happen. There has never been another book written that is the equivalent of the Bible. The Word of God is unique. It's like no other book in the world. It doesn't matter who wrote any other book. It is not the Word of God. There's only one Word of God. Only one. Now, there's a lot of books out there that'll tell you how to be closer to God and how to please God and how to do a lot of different things that have to do with your faith. But they are not the Bible. There are writers out there writing books. Good titles. Pretty covers. But it is not the Word of God. God only did this one time. And it does not matter what the book is or what the title is or what the book teaches. It's not the same as the Word of God. If you have a desire to read, read this. It's okay to read some of the other books, but they are not the inspired Word of God. They are written by people. We're all people. Have you gotten through a day lately without sin? Thoughts in, actions, omissions. We all sin. People sin. God doesn't. His Holy Spirit doesn't. And so when God gave us His Word, it cannot be the same as another book. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us about the Bible. You know the verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It doesn't mean you'll do every work that's good, but it means what work you do will be good. When the Word of God tells us that the Word is profitable, that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly furnished, it means that there is no other book in that can accomplish what the Bible can accomplish in your heart and in your life. There's a reason for that. This really isn't a book. Well, we call it a book. We think of it as a book. But where did it come from? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, was God. You see, the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I've been given the argument that we might learn something new from another writer or someone else. But let me give you the same caution that God gave John in the book of Revelation. We're studying that book on Sunday nights, folks. We'll get to this. We haven't come to it yet. We're a ways from it. Revelation 22:17-19. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the Holy Spirit. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Then verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. No other book like it, people. None. This has the answer to every problem you might run across in life. Now, if you're like me, I'm getting old. I don't remember things like I used to remember things. I have even lost part of my vocabulary. I'll be sitting at the computer wanting to write a message, and I can't. I know there's a word that is exactly what I want, and I'll call my wife and I'll say, "Honey, what is that word I'm looking for?" Sometimes she doesn't know. When we read the word, we don't always remember it all. But the more we read it, the more we will remember. And when that problem crops up, you know, there are times when I'm looking for a particular passage and I can remember one or two words out of the passage. Now, I've got a Bible program that I can put those in and it'll tell me all the places, every verse that appears in the Bible. Say, well, that's really neat. Find anything you want. Yeah. Some of them show up, you know, 400 or 500 verses. Do you know how long it takes to go through 400 or 500 verses looking for the right verse? But you see, God loved us enough to give us all those verses and that particular verse that we're looking for. When God tells us that the word is profitable, that means it is profitable. It is beneficial for each one of us. Why would you invest time reading a book looking for an answer to a problem any place but the Bible? If I had a choice, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to look for the answer in the Bible. 2 Peter tells us about this book. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, it tells us, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." Take heed about the Bible. "As to the light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." That's Jesus coming into your heart when you're saved. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." I can't tell you what the Bible means any better than what the Holy Spirit can tell you. You can figure it out yourself. You don't have to have me. All you have to do is have him. And if you're saved this morning, you have him. He's living in your heart. He's right here, somewhere. He's ready to give you the answers. "For prophecy," verse 21, "for prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Folks, we have something very special here. Something the rest of the world doesn't have. Buddhists don't have it. The Muslims don't have it. Muslims have a book written by a pervert. And what he has written, he's written about a God of anger, a God that lies. And that's not God. The Hindus, they have books. They're not the Bible. I've got a copy of the Quran in English. Doesn't make any sense. This book, folks, this book that we, many of you brought with you this morning, this book is alive. It is the Word of God. It is a living book. It will take you through life successfully, helping you to find every answer that you need. There's a lot of good books out there, but there's also many books that look good, but they're not. I heard of a couple of books that deal with how to be a better Christian, how women should do this and do that, and what their ministry ought to be. And when I checked, the writer wasn't even a Christian. But she wrote the book. And people are reading the book and thinking they're doing good. That they're learning how to do things even better. But you see, God made a promise about the Bible. He made it to Isaiah. In Isaiah 48, it tells us, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And folks, I want you to remember that. The word of God shall stand forever. Is there any situation in life that's not covered by the Bible? No. Are they all covered? Yes. Solomon once said there's nothing new under the sun. And folks, if we have a problem and we're looking for an answer, there's nothing wrong with going to a brother or sister in Christ and saying, "Would you help me find the answer in God's word?" Because that's God's answer. That's not ours. Now, it's not my intention to get political, so I won't. But I think that there are some facts from the standpoint of impartial observation that we could come to some conclusions. Is there any situation in this life where the words of the Bible would not be appropriate? Think about that. The Bible deals with murder, it deals with theft, it deals with adultery, with lying, with betrayal, breach of contract, hatred, love, deceit, family relationships, today, tomorrow, eternity. It deals with all those things. So what's inappropriate about any part of the Bible that there are people who do not want to hear it? They do not want us to read it in public. They do not want it quoted. They don't want it even engraved on some of our buildings. What's inappropriate about it? Nothing. We cannot any longer sit still and let the world take away our book of life. We need to stand up. We need to stand up for the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us this about the Bible. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible can tell you what your heart is. The Bible can tell you where your life is with regards to God. Could it be that the Bible could be a light unto our path, and or a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet? So that we see the ugliness of our sin. That's why a lot of people don't want the Bible. We're trying to put the Bible up out here at the road. It's not just pure Bible, but we put verses up. I don't give people the reference. In March, we're going to start working out of the book of Romans. There's some good verses in Romans to share with folks. But we don't give them the Bible reference because we don't want them to know what they're doing, what they're reading. If they had a suspicion that it was the Bible, they wouldn't read it. But they might read it, and it winds up here. It might accidentally wind up here. So that's what we're doing. That's what the ladies are doing. Why would a person who knows Jesus as their Savior shy away from the Word of God? Could it be that the Bible brings them under conviction that their life is not right? You see, folks, even I have to every day go to the Lord and ask Him to show me things in my life that He does not approve of. And then I need to go to Him and ask Him to forgive. And you know what? It's so special. He forgives. It's a promise. If we shall confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's all because of the Word. So there is an appropriate relationship that you and I should have to the Word of God. And that relationship is part of it, that it should be a part of our life every day we live. Now, maybe you don't read much. Maybe you have difficulty reading like I do. Okay, I'm a slow reader. Many times I read a line and instead of going down to the next line, my eyes go right back to that same line and I read it again. And I know that I've made a mistake then and I go back and sometimes, this morning, I read it for the third time. And you may have the same problem. Don't give up. There's something real special in the next line. God wants you to become what this book is. We have, I quoted John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made God, and the Word was God. Go down 14th verse of that same chapter. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, we're talking about Jesus, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To realize that this is the Word that it's talking about. We're talking about Jesus. I believe that it's the Word of God is completely appropriate for any Christian to get close to. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Word. Thank you for sending your Son. And Father, you told us in advance what would happen. And then, Father, you brought your Word to fruition. And He came and He lived His sinless life. And He died on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood. And Father, it's His blood that covers our sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He shed His blood. Then, Father, they buried Him. And you raised Him from the dead 3 days later. And most of us are here because of that. So, Father, help us go beyond that. Help us to read your word. Help us to memorize your word, to hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Father, make us more like Jesus through your word. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. We are weak, you are strong. We want to be like your Son. So Father, may that be our prayer, and may you answer that prayer by making us like Jesus. And then, Father, we will praise you as we stand at the foot of thy throne when time comes for us to go home. And, Father, what a great day that'll be. Thank you, Father, for giving us the promise of eternal life. We wait for you to take us to that place. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.